You're listening to Love and War with David Harwood. This is a weekly podcast where David offers spiritual insights that are aimed to enhance your relationship with God, yourself, and others. If you are edified by what you hear, please recommend this podcast to people you love. Now, here's David.
As believers in the Messiah Jesus, there are many aspects of our new identities that we need to grow into. The most foundational of these identities is that we are children of God. We are children of God. Having believed in his name, we end up seeing that we have a new relationship that we need to grow into. Doesn't it just happen naturally? Well, no, it doesn't just happen naturally. We need to get to know God as a child. And it is God himself who facilitates this. Romans 8, verses 14 through 17, Paul wrote, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with the Messiah, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." So here we have some characteristics of this relationship. Children of God are led by the Spirit. All who are being led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons. Children of God have within them the spirit of adoption, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Children of God have an inner witness that we are children. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. And then, using sanctified reason, Paul goes on to say, if we are children of God, then we must also be heirs. We are heirs of God and fellow heirs with the Messiah. And of course, that comes with the qualification that we must be identified with Jesus in this life, suffering shame for his name and being glorified as a result. Heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with the Messiah, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. There's a parallel passage in Galatians chapter 4, verses 3 through 7. Some of the same exact topics are touched upon by Paul. Paul wrote, "So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world." That bears repeating. So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elemental things of the world. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Now, first, I'd like us to notice that it is pre-adopted children who are held in bondage to the elemental things of the world. And then God sent his Son. Jesus came to change this status quo. And so, since he has changed it, do we cease to be children? After all, children are defined as being in bondage to the elemental things of the world. We become that which children are destined to become, adopted sons with an official position in God's household. Now this comes along with increased communion. In verse 6 it says, "Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Please notice that the reason that God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts is because we are sons. Because you are a child of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. No longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir. The crying out of Abba is an echo of Gethsemane. To me, it signifies an entering into God's redemptive work. The Messiah Jesus at Gethsemane said, "Abba, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." Evidently, it was not possible, and the Messiah Jesus willingly took upon himself the will, the desire of his Father to redeem us. So, when we are being brought by God into a place of decision-making, shall we participate in the redemptive work of God in this world? And when we see that it's costly, we may end up needing to cry out to God for grace. And that grace comes as we cry out to God upon the basis of the testimony of the Spirit within us. He really is our Father. And we cry out, "Abba, Father." Our crying out to God as Abba is an echo of Gethsemane. It signifies entering into God's redemptive work, but this labor is not as a slave, but as a son in relationship to his Father. The result of this, once again, is that we are heirs of God as we are identified with the Lord Jesus in his redemptive work. After all, the Lord said, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself daily, take up his cross, and follow." From the text, from the Spirit, from our experience, we find that we are really children of God, and we are to seek to get to know our God as our Father. To get to know God as Father, to grow in this relationship with Him, we should be asking God to give us revelation about who He is. "Father, how do we get to know you as a child?" Paul wrote in Ephesians 1, verses 15 through 17, "For this reason I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints," in other words, you are legitimate children of God, "do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him." Wanting to know God, our Father, is part of the evidence of actually being a child of God. We say to God, "What are you like? Give me a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in knowing who you are. What's on your mind? Father, give to me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowing you. Father, how do you see me? Give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of what you are like towards me. Father, would you help me in this life?" Ask God for a spirit of wisdom and revelation to find out His willingness to help you in this life. And finally, "Father, may I come alongside you and be involved with your work as a child?" Asking God for a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him will begin to open up our hearts to further illumination about how to relate to God as a child does to his Father. After all, being a child of God ultimately involves responsibility in God's household. And this includes entering into training. We enter into training with God as a child. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, it says, "And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and other human beings." Well, look, Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and favor. He went from one degree of wisdom, stature, and favor to another. He was being trained as a child up until the time when he was mature enough and had been trained enough and had grown in wisdom and stature and favor enough to present himself at the Jordan and to be immersed by John the Baptist, entering into his ministry. Here is something that is not often stressed. We do not get trained and grow without correction. We grow from glory to glory. We grow from skill to skill. We grow from understanding to understanding. Our wisdom grows. Our stature grows. In fact, we are intended to grow in favor with God. In Hebrews 12, verses 4 through 10, this is a lengthy scripture, but take a listen to this. This is part of the training process of a child of God with his Father. "You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline, does not correct, does not cause to grow from one level of skill and relationship to another? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. This is a wonderful thing. God places all of us in training, and we grow from holiness to holiness. Ultimately, we end up becoming those who are able to actually represent God in the world, work with God in the world, as well as relate to God as a child to a father. Oh, Father, you're correcting me in the way in which I'm doing this. Father, you're showing me a better way to accomplish this. Father, you're working in me that I might partake of your holiness. In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, Paul wrote, "Be imitators of God as beloved children. The way that we are to grow in God is as a beloved child learning how to live as God would live if he was present on the planet as a man." Well, that actually did happen. "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as the Messiah also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma." Then Paul begins to write about things which should not be named amongst the believing community. He wrote, "But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints, and there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man, who is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of the Messiah and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord." Entering into the training of the Lord for our own benefit. After all, who wants to be disqualified? Paul is warning these people. He says, "Listen, I want you to imitate God as a beloved child. Receive the goodness of God in your life. The fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Receive that. And as you receive God's goodness and his righteousness and his interaction with you and truth about who he is and how we are to see reality, we will learn what is pleasing to the Lord." Well, have you been trained? To the degree that you've been trained by God, so also shall you serve. We are to serve God not slavishly, but as a child with a father whom the child really loves, knowing that the father really loves the child. We have the interaction of God speaking through Moses to Pharaoh in Exodus 4, verse 23. "So I said to you, let my son go that he may serve me. But you have refused to let him go. Therefore, I will kill your son, your firstborn." That's really a dreadful verse, but it's something which did happen. Imagine some earthly despot trying to deprive God of his children. God will not have it. He will ultimately liberate his children. In John 8, verse 28 and 29, Jesus said, "When you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am He, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And He who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to Him." Jesus served His Father as a son. He learned from one level of understanding to another, one level of training to another. He learned how to please God more and more and more. I always do the things that are pleasing to Him. Amazing. And within the framework of a child's relationship to his father, one receives specific chores, roles, relationships within the overall household. And there we come into an understanding of the gifts of the Spirit within the framework of the family of God. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 7. "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." The common good, the benefit of the household of the Father. And so the gifts of the Spirit are passed out as the Spirit wills to different ones in order to serve the Father in the way in which He desires His household to be served. So within the framework of the church, gifts of the Spirit, ministries, people being trained by their Father to serve, to bless, to love others in the same household. And as far as being trained by God as children of God, specific to how we relate to the world, Philippians 2, verses 14 through 16 reads this way: "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of the Messiah I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain." The foundation for healthy service begins in being confirmed in our identities. After all, Jesus began to officially serve after his immersion when God declared, "You are my beloved Son in whom I delight." We need to get that in our own hearts as well. We are to get to know God as a child. After all, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. That's in John chapter 1, verse 12. And in Romans 8, and in Galatians 4, it is written that we have received the Spirit of God, and from the very core of our being, the Spirit of God enables us to cry out to God as children. We are in a new relationship with God. And as we ask God for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowing who it is that He is, who He is towards us, how we are to view Him, He gives to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowing who He is. And as we enter into that relationship, we enter into training, and we will increase in wisdom and stature and favor with God. As we enter into this training, we know that we will grow from one level of understanding to another, one level of skill to another. We will go from glory to glory as we enter into the discipline of the Lord. And the discipline of the Lord is for our benefit, because as we learn what it is like to please the Lord and how to please Him more and more, we shall be inheriting the kingdom of God. We do have an inheritance in the kingdom. We shall have an inheritance in the kingdom. And God Himself has liberated us that we might be able to serve Him as a child with his Father. We serve Him within the framework of the household of God, within the framework of the church, and we serve Him in the way in which we represent Him to the world. We will prove ourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. What will we look like in the midst of that crooked and perverse generation? We will appear as lights in the world. I encourage you, lay hold of your identity as a child of God and ask God for more and more revelation as to how to see Him as Father.
We hope you enjoyed listening to Love and War, which was written and presented by David Harwood. Editing is by David Harwood and Sam Iovino, who is also the producer and technical advisor for the podcast. David Harwood is the pastor of Restoration Fellowship in Glen Cove, New York, and the author of the book, God's True Love. Copies of David's book can be purchased on loveofgodproject.org and on Amazon. The theme song for this podcast is Skirmish, which was written and performed by Leonard Jones. Additional episodes of Love and War can be downloaded on the Podbean app or through iTunes. If you would like more information on Love and War, Restoration Fellowship, or God's True Love, you can find it on restorationfellowshipny.com and loveofgodproject.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Restoration Fellowship NY, Love of God Project, and Love and War DH. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to email David at loveandwar_DH@yahoo.com. As always, please remember to share Love and War and support us by leaving a positive review on iTunes and Podbean. God willing, a new episode of Love and War will be released next week.